Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome this morning. Great to hear you worshiping. Great, great voices this morning. Thank you, team, for leading us. And this is a great morning, a great time to be together. And some of you know that we had a great celebration in the McLean family this week. Caroline Rebecca McLean was born on Friday, so we're celebrating that that birth. So I want to just sneak that in. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, as Sandy opened our service this morning, we are reminded that when we come from a week, we can come from very different places. Come from a great week with celebration, with good things. We come in with smiles on our faces. Sometimes we come because it's been a hard week and a burdensome week and a troubling week. And for many of us, it's a mixture of all of that wrapped together. Some things good, some things hard, some things that, as we look ahead, we're uncertain about. But Father, this time together is to put our focus on you and remind ourselves all together that you are good, that you love us, that you are sovereign, that you are in control, and it's good to be your people. And it's good to sing songs of praise to you. And it's good to delve into your word, reflect on it and how it applies to our lives. Father, for anyone here that may be far from you or distant from you this morning, questioning, speak to us as we've just sung about. Speak to us. And may your spirit have rule in our hearts and minds this day. And guide us into your word. Help us to understand. Take away those things that are dross, that we might be left with what is fully of you for us this day. For in the name of Jesus, I would pray it. Amen. Amen. Well, tell me, I gather there was a games night last night. A number of you were here, had a great time. But I wonder if you've ever watched, and some of you, this may date you a little, have watched the game show To Tell the Truth. To Tell the Truth. I remember watching that as a kid. It was a series that originally aired in 1956 and ran to 1968, and I think that was one of the advertising banners back then. But I don't know whether you know this or not, it was revised in 2016 by ABC, and I understand the fourth season will be aired later this year, so there's time if you've missed To Tell the Truth. In this game, three contestants claim to be a person with an unusual distinction or occupation. One is telling the truth, and the other two are imposters. And four panelists ask these three questions in hopes of identifying which of the three contestants is telling the truth. Now, of course, the interest for the viewer is playing along and seeing if they can detect the imposter from the true. The goal of the imposters, of course, is to deceive everyone in hope of winning some money. The challenge for the panel is coming up with insightful enough questions that they can identify the real from the imposter and then listen very carefully to the answers. Now, that's a very interesting game show. But my suggestion to you today is that if we are going to live life in this world the way God would want us to and has designed for us to live, that we're going to have to discern the truth from the lies. Now, if we just stop and think about it for a few moments, no one wants to come to the end of their earthly lives and come to the realization that they have been deceived and fooled about what is true and what is the way of truth. And yet some will. What we are exploring today may be one of the most important, but also possibly the most counterculture passage of Scripture that we're going to explore in this letter of 1 John. We're going to be looking at just 6 verses, but they carry great importance. So I'm going to read the full 6 verses. We're going to be up on the screen. Look at it. Follow along in your Bibles. I'd encourage you to do so. There's Bibles at the back if you don't have one. 1 John 4, 1 to 6. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. May God bless his word. Now, the central theme, overriding theme of this passage is introduced in verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. As I suggested at the beginning, this passage of Scripture is counterculture regarding how so many see or understand the world in which we live. I want to focus on two. The first is this, that reality or the world we live in is not merely physical, but spiritual. Even if people are not convinced atheists, most people tend to live their lives with very little thought to there being a spiritual realm in which we are living and how it might be impacting our day-to-day lives. And for me, what is even greater concern is that many self-professed Christians live as if spirituality is for Sundays and maybe some other selected times during the week when they're maybe doing something religious. But the Bible presents a very different picture of reality. And that is that we dwell in a spiritual universe where not visible to physical sight is not only the existence and activity of God, but also the activity of other spirits. Other passages of Scripture speak of angels, demons, the devil, even though that is not the focus of our passage today. This is the perspective of the Scriptures right through that we live in a spiritual universe. Let me cite just one other verse of Scripture. This from the Apostle Paul, who wrote, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." We live in a spiritual world that interacts with our physical world. And if you don't have that view of reality, then you're going to struggle to make sense of this passage. It's going to feel like gibberish. But right now, in this room, beyond our physical senses, is the activity of the spiritual realm. Now, to understand John's flow of thought in this passage, I think it's important to go back one verse to chapter 3, 24, where John actually describes the nature of the Christian life, which kind of provides the lead-in to this passage today. And that's verse 24, where John writes, "The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." You see, Christians, followers of Christ, are not merely people who believe certain things in our minds about God, do some religious things, but are people indwelt by the Spirit of the living God and live their lives day in and day out of this awareness of the reality of the living God and the spiritual world. When we put our faith in Christ and commit our lives to walk in his ways, then the Spirit of God indwells us. And we become alive spiritually. And this is huge. This is huge. Transformational. But it's very counterculture to the way of the world, which tends to operate without any reference at all to the spiritual world. But there is a second very countercultural understanding here. And that is that there actually is truth and falsehood. Now, of course, the world of mathematics and science, and the world of mathematics and science, this is, of course, accepted, and some other fields. There is right and wrong and true and false. But when we come to the arena of beliefs, and even of many ethical issues of the day, the common expression of today is, people have their own truth. People have their own truth. I'm sure that you've heard this. Maybe someone like Oprah, although it's become very common, that such and such has their own truth. It sounds so loving, accepting, supportive, non-judgmental. And, of course, at one level it is. I'll respect your truth, you respect mine, we'll all get along, be at peace. And, of course, that's all good. Unless you take the Bible seriously. Unless you take the Bible seriously. And its claim that there is a true Spirit of God and there are false spirits, and with them lies and deceptions and false prophets. Now, if you just stop and think about this whole notion of personal truth, see how quickly it becomes its own lie. What a marvelous deception that's been planted in our culture. To convince people, it doesn't matter what you believe. All beliefs are equal. And then name it as truth. It's your truth. Wow. But believing something does not make it true. Feeling something, experiencing something, even having a strong desire for something does not make it right, and does not make it true, and does not make it good, and does not make it life-giving. It doesn't. listen again to that first verse. And now take it personally. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is our reality. So how do we do that? And how do we know? Well, in our passage, John gives in the next two verses what I'm going to call the primal test. The primal test. Verses 2 and 3. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Now let me acknowledge something. This topic of spiritual discernment, understanding, knowing the truth from falsehood is a huge topic, multifaceted, and also at some points very controversial. And I want to acknowledge that even Scripture teaches that on some issues, there is freedom of conscience. Not every issue, belief, practice, perspective is black and white. And we're certainly not delving into all aspects of that. I'm leaving that for Tyler for another day. But sticking with our text, which is our focus today, there is a central dividing line, what I'm calling a primal truth. And that is what we believe about Jesus. What we believe about Jesus. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Look a little closer at that statement, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a key point of John's. And it's important in that phrase to see that John is actually stating two things about Jesus. The first is that Jesus is the Christ. You see, sometimes when we read Jesus Christ or say Jesus Christ, we can forget that Christ isn't his last name like Ed McLean. It's a title. Jesus the Christ. That is Jesus the Messiah, the Anointed One, the promised deliverer, the one who in this letter over and over again is identified as the sinless Son of God who laid down his life for us, the eternal Word of life. That is, he is the divine deliverer. This we must know about this Jesus. But secondly, that he has come in the flesh. That is, that Jesus was fully human. He was the perfect Adam, a man of real flesh and blood who experienced hunger and thirst and every other human feeling and emotion, and yet was without sin. Now, in this verse, it is Jesus' humanness that is being emphasized, because historical research has shown that this was a particularly common false teaching prevalent at the time in the writing of the first century. That Jesus wasn't really fully human, that maybe he appeared human. But you see, over the centuries, error has tended to lean one direction or the other. Jesus was just human, just a good teacher, maybe a prophet, but not truly God, not God in the flesh, not the eternal Son of God, or that Jesus was divine from God, but not really fully human. The brilliant theologian John Stott writes, "The fundamental Christian doctrine, which can never be compromised, concerns the eternal divine human person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." If a religion or sect does not believe this, does not proclaim this, does not teach this, they are not from God. They are not from God. And actually, John teaches it's worse than that. Look at the second part of verse 3. "This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world." Spirit of the Antichrist. Again, these are things we don't talk much about today, maybe even in the context of church. It's one of the benefits and challenges of teaching right through a book of the Bible, verse by verse, as we're doing in this series. Now, you may recall, if you've been here for this series, that John has already written about the Antichrist earlier in the letter in chapter 2, verses 18 and 22. It's interesting to note that this term, Antichrist, only appears in this letter and once in John's second letter, used a very similar way. Note, and this was actually fresh knowledge for me, this term is not used in the book of Revelation. It's not. Now, sometimes John uses it in the singular, Antichrist. Sometimes in the plural, Antichrists. And there is also the spirit of the Antichrist, as we have in our passage today. It seems it's a term that John came up with to express his deep concern, referring to false teachers and their teaching, about their identity, their teaching against the identity, nature, and work of Christ. John's concern is for false teachers, all kinds, that will lead people away from the true knowledge of Jesus and thus his saving work. He doesn't seem quite as concerned as some people tend to be about identifying a single Antichrist, although he does at times refer to the Antichrist. I think more so, John wants us to be alert to all teaching and teachers that lead people away from the precious, critical importance of knowing who Jesus really is. Now, for John's first hearers, maybe even for us, all of this can be a bit unsettling. False spirits, false prophets, Antichrist. But John has an encouraging response. Ready for an encouraging word? Look at verse 4. "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Isn't that great news? Saying, yes, all this is going, but it's not an even playing field. Yes, there is a battle going on. There is a war between God and Satan, between angels and demons, between truth and lies, between good and evil, between the Spirit of God that is in us and the Spirit that is in the world. Yes, at work in the world is the spirit of the Antichrist to lead people astray. But listen, my friends, it is not an equal fight. It's not. Well, in the midst of the battle, my friends, we can all feel at times the strength of the enemy and at times the powers of darkness and falsehood, and sometimes they're gaining ground, but we need to remind ourselves over and over and over again of this great truth, that greater is the one who is in us than he that is in the world. Greater, greater. Say it with me. Greater is the one that is in us than the one that is in the world. In the words of the Apostle Paul, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Do not live in fear. Do not live in fear. Greater is the one who is in us than the one who is in the world. Now, to wrap things up, we're going to look at the last couple of verses where John writes, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Our main theme today has been spiritual discernment. And our passage ends with a somewhat uncomfortable truth, but a reality nonetheless. And that is that followers of Jesus, filled with the Spirit of God, operate out of a different reality, understanding, worldview than those who have not come to faith. And that's going to affect how they speak and how they listen and how we speak and how we listen. And we need to be, in the context of John, aware, alert, cautious. We are to be discerning that this is the kind of world and reality we live in. Now, let me caution. That doesn't mean that there isn't a lot of common ground. And we need to remember always that God wants to bless the world through us. And he wants us to shine for him and seek ways to point people to him. Do not understand these verses as an invitation to arrogantly be dismissive of others or rude or condescending, or even to withdraw, because the commission remains to go into the world and proclaim the truth of Jesus. But at the same time, we need to know that there is going to be a huge separation of understanding and responses between spiritually alive people and those that are not. And also, let me say, this is one of the reasons why Christian community and community groups is so important, so that we can help each other discern the truth and walk in the truth and encourage each other daily. I have suggested that so much of what we have considered today is counterculture. So let me simply ask, where do you stand? Where do you stand? Do you believe that we live in both a physical and spiritual reality? And if so, what are the implications of that for you? Do you perceive all truths as equal? If not, how do you know? Have you come to that critical place of believing that Jesus is the divine human Savior for mankind, for you, and for me? The perfect Son of God who gave his life on the cross and rose from the dead. And is that personal to you, such that you know that you are spiritually alive, connected with God, that you dwell in God and God dwells in you? If not, what's holding you back? What's holding you back? If you are today spiritually alive, are you aware of that daily, seeking to grow and walk in the truth of God's reality? Are you alert to the battle? Are you engaging in the battle? Do you live with a confidence that greater is the one who is in you than he that is in the world? Is the importance of spiritual discernment in the world that we live in something you reflect on, think about, study about, study with other believers, that you might keep your mind sharp and your heart strong? How are you navigating your way through this world so that you will be faithful to the end? Where do you stand? And what, by God's Spirit, is he prompting in you today? Let me pray. Father God, again, I thank you. I thank you for your word and its abiding relevance to our lives. Sometimes at first glance, we can read a text and think, I don't know how that speaks to my reality. But as we reflect on it and as your Spirit guides and prompts, we see that your word is always relevant, speaks truth into us, guides and directs, at times convicts, other times comforts and encourages in wonderful ways. Thank you. Thank you for your word. And Spirit of the living God, guide us, protect us, help us. May we individually and as a community of faith follow in the way that is life and truth, that we might shine for you until Jesus comes. In the name of Jesus, we would ask it. Amen. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.